some things to say to you this evening. Appreciate your prayers. First, a little bit of instruction, and then a topic. Then I'd like to visit with you about the 32nd Psalm. The 32nd Psalm is a Psalm of David. The caption says it's a mashal. Mashal means instruction. The 32nd Psalm is a psalm explaining how to get saved, what it means to be saved. I'll read the first paragraph of it. David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him." Now this sounds like David is talking about having repented of a great sin. We don't know exactly when this psalm was written, but we do know about the major transgression that David committed in his life. And we wrote a psalm about that. And in that psalm, one of the things that he said was, "When I am converted, I will help the church," to put it in my language. This is his effort to do that. This is what he said to folks. In so many words to say, "I who made such great failure, I found the way back. And just as much as I hurt people by what I have done and have been a stumbling block to them, now I want to be instrumental in doing what I can to help them." Every one of us, folks, are on a journey toward eternity. Yeah. The single most important thing that any of us have to do in our lives, in wild desperation, is whatever it takes to meet the Lord in peace. Yeah. If there is one thing we must not have happen to us, it is to feel life slipping away through our fingers and realize, "I am unprepared for this." We can't afford to do that. David got that burden. I have to think he got that after he got into the trouble that he did. And it affected him so much, he saw how bitter was his failure. He was prepared to do anything he could, humble to any depth, confess anything he had to confess, do anything he could do to help the souls around him. He's a king. He's responsible for his people. He wanted to help them try to meet the Lord in peace. So that's the great burden of this psalm. And it begins with the term blessed. But our word blessed doesn't capture it. It really is more emphatic than that. It means all the blessednesses. It's actually a plural word. It means the blessednesses. All the blessedness. As if it's perhaps as great an exclamation of joy and pleasure as a person can make. All the blessednesses. And there are many. Not long ago, I drove through a drive-through at a restaurant, fast food. And a young lady there took my money and handed my change and smiled to me. And nearly every one of her teeth had decay in it. And I thought, how awful. How could someone in their youth have that happen to them? And my companion with me said, "That's caused by methamphetamines. It rots your teeth out." When I was taking some of my hospice training, the instructor told us, "We're looking for an influx of people in their mid and late 30s who have Alzheimer's disease." Because they said methamphetamines causes Alzheimer's disease to set in at that early age. I wasn't smarter than other people. The Lord had mercy on me and saved my soul and spared me all the blessednesses. How thankful we ought to be for the things that have saved us from the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, I didn't live unsaved very long, as people do. I got saved in my teens. It was too long. But I have regrets about that. Even after all these years, there are things I did when I was in that condition that I really wouldn't want you to know about. I needed something to have to help me with it. And once you've done those things, you can't ever undo them. Time only goes one way. You can't go back and relive your life. All the blessednesses, how valuable it is to have found a way out. Yes. Something to give you a chance that can change it. David had experienced this. And here's what he said about it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, sin covered. Man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. All four of those are different things. But for our purposes this evening, I don't intend to delve into them. I'd just like to ask you to rejoice with me a little while about what it means to have the privilege to come to a worship service like this and be innocent in your soul. Just feel clear. The Lord's forgiven you. It's all under the blood. Look what he said here. Whose sin is covered. One of my dear friends is a minister of many years. We were confiding our hearts to each other one time. He'd lived unsaved longer than I. He said, I regret the memories that I have. He said, I see certain scenes. He'd spent some time on the wild side of life. And he said, there are certain scenes when those arise, it brings things back in my mind. Been years ago, but they haunt me. They torment me. They bother me when they come back. There's only one solution for that. And that's for it to be covered. Yes. Covered. Think what it must take. Something that grieved God as much as our sins. To have it so covered that nothing can see it anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ covers sin and uncleanness. Forgiven. Forgiven. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. That word has a double meaning. One of them is taken off. It's like a man with a heavy load on his shoulders, barely able to make it through life. And have the Lord come and take it off. And another meaning of it is to take away, as if to say that there is a barrier between my soul and where it needs to go. And there's nothing I can do to move that barrier. But the Lord Jesus Christ came and he made a cleft in the rock and put my soul in there and your soul and covered me there with his hand. As the song says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. In his spirit there is no guile. That's a very honorable place to be in. People who have guilty consciences feel obliged to hide that. It's painful. Well, it's sad that in our world today, sin has become so rampant that people don't seem to care anymore. They used to be ashamed. People used to blush and get embarrassed at certain kind of things. Didn't want it to be known. There's still some of that. There are frauds in the world. There are people who cheated folks out of money, done things to the government, to other people you wouldn't really want anybody to know about. Salvation makes you transparent. It makes you so you don't have anything to hide. Everybody can see right through you. Just innocent, pure, no secrets. No secrets, just holy. Pure, innocent people don't have trouble fellowshipping one another. They don't have things they have to hide from one another. It's natural for them to blend together. You can't promote fellowship. Fellowship is spontaneous. It's automatic. It happens when I'm pure and forgiven, and you're pure and forgiven. Our spirits, naturally, our personalities might be very different, but our spirits blend together. To be a person who can say, yes, one time I lived in sin and did not know my Lord, and all the worldly things, my heart was one accord, and can have that testimony, but say, the old account was settled long ago. I went to the Maker, I went to the Founder, and He settled the account. Now I'm innocent. The record's clear today. What a valuable thing to say. Well, think of this in terms of where David was. He said, while I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I got a man murdered. I committed a horrible crime with his wife. And I didn't want anybody to know it, and I wouldn't admit it, and I tried to justify it and cover it up. And as long as I did that, somebody said it's like having a rat hid inside your shirt. There's a story that's come down to us of the Spartans, military men. One of them caught a fox and hid it inside his breastplate armor, going to try to make a pet out of it or something. But while he was standing in rowing attention, that fox was gnawing on him on the inside. And finally he bled so much that he just fell over. But that's the way sin is when people try to hide it. It's not even a fox. It's like a rat hidden inside your clothes and gnaws on you. David said, that's in my crude language, that's the way it was. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. If you've lived in sin, you know what that feels like. Could think about it in the daytime, think about it at night. Lie down, try to go to sleep. The last thought on your mind is, if I don't wake up tomorrow, I'll be lost. Get up in the morning and try to start your day, and you need something to divert your mind because a heavy load of guilt. It feels like little gremlins with muddy boots on have been walking around in your mouth. Starting out your day that way with guilt. With guilt. And that's what David said. In the day and in the night, everything I see, everybody I meet, I wonder, does he really know what I've been doing? What does he think about me? What does she think about me? Trying to hide something that can't really be hidden. Isaiah wrote about that, and he said, it's like a man trying to sleep on a bed where the bed's too narrow and the cover's too short. You just can't cover yourself up. It's miserable. You ever tried to sleep with your feet sticking out on a cold night? David said, that's the way I was. Thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture means all the things I enjoy are turned into the drought of summer. And here's how I fix it. And he's saying, brother, you can too. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I just came clean. And here's the future. I may fail again. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in the time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh thee unto him. Our Lord had something very similar. He that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them will liken him unto a wise man. Built his house on a rock. The winds and the storm and the flood. Everybody builds for wind. Everybody builds for rain. Nobody with any sense builds where they expect your house to get flooded. But folks, life's got floods in it. Life's got things that we didn't anticipate come our way. David said concerning that, in the floods of great waters, in my language, once you've been forgiven, the Lord will put something in you that'll make you able to withstand the flood. When it comes, things that you never thought would come your way, the Lord has a grace to give us for that. Thank God. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah, which means in my language, stop and think it over. Thou art my hiding place. I hope this evening to inspire our hearts with that thought. It means something when we say it here. It means more when we say it in adversity and distress. Yeah. 3 weeks ago, this coming Tuesday, Roberta said to me, I want to know what this is. So I said, okay, you're Native American. It won't cost us. We'll take you down. There's a doctor right here. He'll examine you. So we did that. And he said, I detect a mass. And he said, I want to send you to, say, want to call for an ambulance. And I want to send you to the Chickasha Hospital. So he said, no, we'll drive down there. And we did. And the medical people there performed a CT scan on Roberta. And they came back and gave us what to me was about the worst sentence that I'd ever want to hear. I have studied appendicitis, and I don't like it. It's very dangerous. It's very serious. They didn't even ask us any questions. They just started prepping her for surgery. They started laying out the different things that we're going to use. And Roberta started, no, I don't want to do that. And their faces fell. The doctor who was in the room with us burst into tears. And I said, well, what is going to happen? And she said, this shows, this CT scan that we've done and the blood work we have done shows that she has a perforated appendix. It has contaminated the abdominal cavity. She's got an elevated white blood count. Said it's slightly elevated. So what is the process? She said it's going to affect all of the organs, and they'll get inflamed, and it'll get extremely painful, and then they'll shut down, and she'll die. I said, how long? She said, well, 48 hours or so. And Roberta said, I've trusted the Lord all my life. I've never done this. I'm not going to do it now. And that's when the doctor burst into tears. And they sent in their heavies. Every emergency room's got some of those. A couple of nurses that are, you know, they handle the difficult cases. And we didn't see that doctor anymore. And sign here on this line, you're doing what you're doing against medical advice. And they as good as told us that this is a death sentence. And I believed them, physically. As I say, I've had a little experience with it, and I've studied it some. But she wanted to go home, and I told her, it was your body, baby. I'll stand by you. You know how we've lived. If you want this, I won't stop you from doing it. But if you want to go home, I'll take you home. I'll pray for you. So we took her home. And all through the night, I was watching for that pain to start, like they talked about. And she went to sleep and slept soundly all night long. She was able to turn any way she wanted to turn and never felt any pain at all through the night. And since then, she has been recovering steadily. To me, that's what this scripture means. Thou art my hiding place. Now, I'm talking now about divine physical healing. But this applies to every aspect of life. It applies to money. Yeah. It applies to relationships with people. Yeah. It applies to whatever our need or battle may be along the way. To the man or the woman who can say, my transgression is forgiven. My sin is covered. The Lord won't impute iniquity to me. And I don't have anything to hide anymore. To the person who can really say that, the Lord is a hiding place. I had rather have that than anything I know of in this world. For the Lord to be my hiding place, I'm absolutely desperate to have it. And I'm deeply grateful to Him as I stand here tonight that He has had mercy on me and spared my wife to me in this battle. I want to call your attention to this clause. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And it brings to mind the glory songs of the church that we've had through the ages. I got some of them in mind. And I'd be grateful if maybe we'd have some of this preaching service instead be a singing service this evening. I got copies of some of these and gave them to Brother Tony so he can help us with it. I don't know whether these are in the blue book or not. I looked a little before meeting and I couldn't find them. But I'm thinking about an old hymn that says, I'll fly away. Would you mind singing that? Well, that's my hope. One of these days I'm leaving out of here. And expect the same God who's walked with us while we're staying here to go with us when we leave.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
Fly away.
Fly away.
To that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, away from glory. I'll fly away,
away
in the morning
when I die.
Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away, fly away. When the shadows of the pipe are grown, I'll fly away, fly away. Like a bird from prison bars is flown, I'll fly away, fly away. I'll fly away, fly away. Glory, I'll fly away, fly away. In the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away,
just a few weary days and dim.
I'll fly away, fly away.
Morning
to a land where joy shall never ring. I'll fly away, fly away.
I'll fly away, fly away.
Oh, glory. I'll fly away, fly away.
In the morning
when I die,
hallelujah, by and by,
I'll fly away, fly away.
When my mother was in her final days, looking back over it, she said, right was the pathway leading to this. I have known people who saw angels. Roberta's mother told us about, I hear the most beautiful singing. Can't you hear it? Nobody else could hear it but her. I believe in that. Staking my soul on that. These things are real, folks. They fly away one of these days. People fail. That's what David's psalm is about. I want to tell you a little story about this song. It is no secret. It was written by Stuart Hamblin. Years ago, Brother Leslie Busby gave me a tape that Stuart Hamblin had recorded live. And in it, he sang that song and he told about how he wrote it. His wife was in the bedroom and he was playing around with the piano because he was a musician. And he got the inspiration, the understanding to write the words to this song, and got it the way he wanted it, and sat down to the piano and started singing it. There's no secret what God can do. His wife came in the room where he was, and she was crying. And he said, honey, what's the matter? He said, that's the most beautiful song I ever heard. It needs to go to all the world. You see, it had a history. Stuart Hamblin was a son of a Methodist minister in Texas. But he didn't follow in his dad's footsteps. He grew up to be one of the first of the singing cowboys that became to be a hit on the silver screen, moved to Hollywood, and he was a party animal. He drank, he ran around, he lived a wild and wicked life. He had a radio program. Billy Graham got in touch with him and made arrangements somehow for Billy Graham, who was also famous at the time, to appear on his program. Billy Graham then was spreading the word about the crusade that he was going to have. It was in 1949 in Los Angeles, a major crusade, and he invited Stuart Hamblin to come to that crusade. So he went. And after it was over, he sent for Billy Graham and said, would you come back and visit with me again? So he put in for salvation, and he changed, as you would expect. And he said a friend of his came to him and said, I hear a rumor that you're not behaving like you used to do. And he said, well, that's true. It's no secret. I'm not trying to keep it quiet. And he said, you ought to write a song about it then. That friend was John Wayne, who came and told him that. And he wrote this song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do, with the intention of anybody, wherever they are, made a failure in life, to have hope. It's no secret. Wherever you are, God is able to do something to redeem you. To me, these are the glory hymns of the church. Have you ever had some of that happen to you when you're in trouble bad and you need help? Have the Lord bring a song to your mind or a scripture. And just, it's got magic in it. It's got power. It changes you. Well, these are some of the songs that have meant that to me. I have no idea if this one's in the blue book or not. Maybe we know enough of it to sing it along with Tony, if you help us with it. Don't have to sing all the verses, but whatever you think's appropriate.
The chimes of time ring out the news of love.
Their day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength and courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, me'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night for in His light you'll never walk alone.
You'll always feel at home
wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
I have my own song. I have my own song of the sort. This verse says, Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. There's a song in our hymnal that says, When my soul is oppressed with the sorrows of life, and the thought of the morrow alarms with my care-laden heart, then I flee from the strife and I weep out my woes in His arms. For years I gave that song to other people. I felt like the Lord had given me lots of comfort and victory. But He led me into a place in my life where that was my song every morning for months. The scripture spoke of Jeremiah with his cup of wormwood and gall. And I compared that in my mind to the Lord setting me down in a trough. And anybody that's ever lived on a farm and had a trough, you know how cows can wear a little groove in a trough with their neck. I told the Lord, I'm going to wear a groove with my neck in that trough. You pour the wormwood and the gall in it every morning. I'm not going to back up from it anymore. I'm going to go up there and drink every bit of it you put in there. And just face it and deal with it. And I found in that song the comfort and the courage and the strength that brought me through that time. You understand what I'm talking about? When we sing these songs here, it's like training. When they matter is when you're in battle. And it's hard. And the Lord brings something like that back to you. And it's got power in it and comfort. And you and I, folks, we're not the first who walk this way. Thank God. When I sing these old glory hymns of the church, I think of them as footprints where somebody else went through something like I have and they made it. And here's their testimony. And by God's grace, I can make it too. There's another one that I have on Brother Tony's sheet there. I don't know if he knows it or I don't know if it's in our blue book. But the title of it is Morning Has Broken. It was written in 1931. One of the islands in Scotland. Folks over there were worshiping the Lord. And in their meeting, they decided they needed a song to use to greet the day, every day. And so someone wrote this song and put it to music. And that's what we have. Morning has broken. You know that one, Tony? Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. And you see, when we rise in the morning and the dew's on the grass and the day is new, it's a good thing to start out with some praise and honor to the Lord. Maybe your heart is heavy. Maybe you have had sorrow and grief. Maybe yesterday had heavy disappointment. Today is a new day. And it has its own joy and its own blessing. Yeah. And just like those folks that long ago needed a song to greet the morning, so we sometimes. The scripture that I have says again, Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. And maybe that's enough of mine. That song came to mean a lot to me because He was one the boys in prison knew. And they would call it often when I went there. And they would also call, "Because He Lives." They were all different religious backgrounds, but that was one song we could all agree on. Maybe let's have a verse of that. You know that one, Brother Tony?
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
How sweet to
know a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as victory, I'll see the lights of glory and know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
The Lord did something special for Roberta, but in His usual way, He'd also done some things to prepare. Because before Roberta got sick, Lane had the very same kind of symptoms. And I have no doubt that his case was just as serious. But we had prayer for him. We had a moment when we knew the Lord came down and something changed. And he's still here. Last time I asked him about it, he didn't feel any symptoms of it at all. This business is real, folks.
Amen.
And I think I call this a praise service. Maybe it's time to ask you if you have a song that the Lord has used to especially mean a lot to you and fortify you. Use some space to sing that.